Welcome to another eBizQ podcast.
Hello, eBizQ listeners. This is Caitlin Brunson, Associate Editor at eBizQ. Today I am speaking with David Achu, Vice President of Products and Markets at Fidelis Security Systems. David, thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure.
Can you please provide us with a brief overview of your company?
So Fidelis Security Systems is a next generation network security company bringing deep session inspection technology to life, basically helping organizations protect their sensitive information, whether it's from data breaches, cyber attacks, and other new and evolved threats to their networks.
Today's topic is the use of social media and other collaborative technologies like Facebook, LinkedIn, Skype, etc. in the federal government. This includes how they are embracing it and safely adopting it. So David, social networking is pervasive in the private sector. Government agencies have a reputation of being laggards on adoption of new technologies. Is that the case with social networking?
Well, I think social networking is a place where actually the government has done some interesting work in some cases being a pioneer, but also looking at the potential value that it can provide. That if you look at the government's role beyond protecting our country and citizens is a variety of citizen and constituent services. And the reality is that there's a lot of platforms out there now from a social media perspective that have created great gatherings of these constituents that when there are, take Facebook example, when there are hundreds of millions of folks on Facebook, the likelihood of voters and constituents that are having service provided being there is high. And so while there's been a lot of concern in the government with using tools run by third parties in providing that type of outreach and services, it's also really obvious that there is the new open government initiatives, that there's an appreciation for the value of those. And I think really the exciting piece is GSA really and their apps.gov initiative has actually created custom terms of services where federal agencies have actually gone out and taken a leadership role in negotiating how they could interact with sites like Facebook, LinkedIn, MySpace. And as of the end of last year, I think it was somewhere near, I think it was 27 federal government agencies had actually signed terms of service agreement with Facebook, and we're actually leveraging those technologies. And so there is, there's still definitely a lot of work to do, but it's a place where they have taken some thought leadership, but they are still very concerned about the risks. DHS has some interesting things with our border. There are many folks in the U.S. Armed Forces have used particular areas, and so they're doing some really interesting things.
Government agencies handle huge amounts of personally identifiable information as well as classified data. What are the top security concerns faced by agencies that use social networking applications?
Obviously, protecting that sensitive information is paramount to, both in many cases our national security and in many cases in, citizen trust in the government. And so social networking, is not an appropriate place. End user citizens' PII is likely or should be appearing, particularly in classified information, obviously, should never be traversing public network. But really the interesting risk comes in that the likelihood of, I think, someone, having a classified conversation in Facebook is low, but there are a lot of other risks. And, really the sensitive but unclassified area where people can really use social networking to understand more about, programs and things that would let them then, begin to plan either malicious activity or other knowledge they're trying to gain. And so, one of the things to be really careful about from a social networking perspective is what information is shared and when that information is put together, what type of picture can you put together about a program or agency? And so, hopefully we won't be having a lot of conversations about PII or classified data being posted to social networking sites. So that is something that, Fidelis can help prevent. I think the more important part of the conversation is looking at operational security and other information about programs and employees and making sure that, an intelligent information sharing process is used to leverage the social networking for good while mitigating the risks of inappropriate information sharing.
How should government agencies mitigate risks to be able to safely utilize the positive aspects found in social networking applications?
Good. So, as I look at the risk equation, I think there's really four key areas where there are risks that need to be mitigated, and just go through each risk real quick and then talk about some of the ways we can unlock them. So the first is, making sure that, and this is really much less technical, but making sure that the appropriate users are speaking on the agency's behalf. Obviously, anyone can create a Facebook account, and even if it's blocked from the office, you know, we have mobile versions and home computers, and so making sure that people understand who is appropriate to be able to speak on the agency's behalf. I'm someone who can speak on behalf of Fidelis, but some, in our example, we wouldn't want a developer launching and, you know, announcing a new product release. So making sure people understand, you know, much like in the PR or the media outlet called asking questions that PR should handle, making sure the right folks are speaking on the agency's behalf. And the last question, we talked obviously about posting of sensitive information, that making sure that it's very clear where information should and shouldn't be shared. Generally, you know, talking about PII, the government's had the Privacy Act of 1974 for quite some time, and its protection of citizen employee PII is fairly well ingrained in the culture, so hopefully that's not a risk. But as you talk about national security interests, there's been a lot of interesting conversations, particularly on the DoD side, where social networking and other technology tools have allowed, you know, troops who are often forward deployed, military or wartime situations, to have better connectivity back to their family. And someone saying, oh, you know, well, I'm picking up and moving to this location tomorrow, or hey, my battalion just got called in to get these immunizations, could actually compromise operational security. So making sure sense information isn't posted. We're seeing a lot of move of malicious code distribution. And so whether viruses or malware or various types of attacks that used to be sent in email and is now moving to social media. So, you know, there have been some stats recently about that Facebook and LinkedIn and other places are becoming popular places for both phishing and malware distribution. And then, you know, social engineering is one that is also a big risk, that being able to impersonate, you know, someone can set up an account saying, hey, I'm with this government contractor. You know, I work for one of the large government systems integrators. I'm working on this account. I create some other fake accounts that I friend that also appear to be valid in that area. And then I use that to try to create relationships and ask questions and learn things from a government employee or other systems integrator or other person involved in a project to gather information that individually might not be useful. But when I aggregate all of this sensitive but unclassified information together, can begin to put together pictures of information that I shouldn't have had access to. And so, you know, social engineering has moved. It used to be phone calls and things of that sort. Social networking has really enabled an interesting online risk of that. And things like third-party applications, they have been a big area of, you know, I always tell people, if you get a quiz, be careful of what questions you're being asked, because, you know, many people will give up a lot of things about themselves answering a question like, how great a government employee are you? Or, you know, how great of a Marylander are you? Answer things like, what street did you grow up on? What elementary school did you go to? Revealing things about yourself. So I think those are really the four key risk areas. But fortunately, there's some things that can be done about them.
What are the best methods a government agency can employ to achieve the risk reduction?
I think there's a couple key areas, and, you know, really that, Fidelis, we're a technology company, so I do enjoy talking about technology, but the key is that it needs to be, every component has both people, process, and technology, and they're all necessary. You know, one of the things I tell folks is that blocking social networking isn't realistic. Typically, you know, we're actually seeing it as a recruiting issue in many organizations, that if the new college graduate don't have access to social media tools that they're used to using, they think companies or organizations are old and stagnant, and the reality is that they might have got their computer, but the cell phone, you know, everyone in the office that has a cell phone likely has access to a wide variety of social media sites. So, you know, we think instead of saying no, a mitigated yes is a much better answer. And so the first area I was talking about is making sure that existing policies cover social networking, that hopefully when organizations' policies, you know, are addressing things like who can speak on the agency's behalf, there necessarily might not have to be a social networking policy. I've worked with organizations where their existing information disclosure or public affairs or other or acceptable use policies covered these areas, but making sure that people understand that the policies and guidelines of how they should conduct themselves as an employee, and making sure that you're comfortable that covers the social world. The next component, once you have those policies, is training the end users so they understand the goals of what the agency is trying to accomplish, that here is the benefit we see in using social media. It might be something like, we're going to be using something as simple as YouTube to publish videos to provide knowledge about what our agency is doing and better share information with constituents and get their feedback. It could be, you know, using Facebook to provide outreach on, in a particular instance, like an emergency or census or something along those lines, making sure the end users understand what's trying to be accomplished and then what the risks are and how they should conduct themselves within the agency's policies that exist. You know, that's a really important piece that people are really a key component to this, and educating them and making it clear both from a goals and risks is important. The next thing I always tell folks is, particularly around social engineering, is to make sure that both the agency itself or the sub-agencies, as well as the key executives, have accounts on the social networking sites. Again, social engineering is a big issue, and if I can go in and create an account for, you know, the secretary of XYZ and impersonate that person, you know, that can create risk. And so, frankly, even if you're still saying no to social networking, making sure that the agency as well as the key executives have profiles created for them, even if they're not using them, that you can even mark them as such, saying, this is the profile for secretary of XYZ. This account is not in use, just so that can't be impersonated. So I think that's very important to do. And then we get to technology. There are some existing security tools, like whether it's AV or web filtering, or things that aren't the greatest technologies against preventing against attacks, that in many cases AV recently has been seen to only be sub 50% effective in attacks. But if you have invested in those, making sure that updates are applied in a timely manner and they're configured to support the social networking sites is probably a good use of time. The other important control, I think, is being able to control how the social network site is used and what content's posted. This is something where Fidelis has spent a lot of time and investment working with our customers, both making sure that our technology has the capabilities to do this, but also in helping working with customers to understand how they should do this. So rather than saying a Facebook example, no one can have access to Facebook, saying, okay, well, we'll have everyone access to Facebook. We're concerned about third-party applications because they've been used for social engineering or create other risks. We're going to block social engineering. Only these people, these approved users, can speak on the agency's behalf. So a technology to say, hey, only these users can post with these types of keywords or content. And then other organizations have controls around perhaps, you know, can they upload documents to something like a LinkedIn or photos to Flickr, or, you know, use an instant messaging feature inside of Facebook. But implementing technical controls to say, you know, here's the people who can share these types of information, and turning off on or off areas of the site that are not, the different sites that are or aren't appropriate. Those technical controls to really control granularly how the sites are used, a great technology control along with the policy and training, those attributes tend to build a very successful program.
I would like to thank David Achu, Vice President of Products and Markets at Fidelis Security Systems, for today's podcast. Thank you, David.
A pleasure. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too. And thank you, EbizQ listeners, for joining us.
This has been an EbizQ podcast.